Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. This is The Elaborators. We have been elaborating a lot lately, and hopefully you've been enjoying it. By the way, we would like to hear from you. If you're loving the podcast, if you're not liking the podcast, actually, if you're not liking the podcast, maybe just gently, you can tell us that, but you have to put like smiley faces and love hearts, because otherwise producer Simon gets very upset. How are you, mate?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. Yeah. I would like some more emojis.
You need some more loving emojis?
Yeah, balance out the negative with some yellow faces.
Are you one of those guys that grew up with the whole like positive, negative, positive, what's that sandwich thing called? The feedback sandwich?
Feedback sandwich. Sandwiches or whatever they are.
Yeah.
That was terrible music producing, but I really love how much you've improved in using the desk.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's an upside down sandwich.
So hang on, we're starting with you trying to give me is it called a criticism sandwich?
I don't know what it's called.
I don't know.
But I was doing negative, positive, negative, which is the wrong way to do a
negative, positive, negative. So I grew up, I obviously am a musician. So, you know, basically all that I remember from my music classes in Trumpet was being told what was wrong.
Okay.
That's all I really remember. I remember enjoying live music because live music just happened live, and whatever you did on stage, that was just right.
Yep.
You know.
Isn't that jazz?
That's just play all the notes at once. It's jazz. Yep. No. So I remember that kind of the feeling of feeling like you'd achieved something good could be measured by whether the audience stayed or left.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which I thought
or
was
whether
a good
they came back the next time you performed.
Exactly. So welcome back to the podcast. If you liked the last one and you're here for this current one, it's great to have you. Producer Simon, we've been doing habits over the last few weeks, just talking about the basics, the fundamentals of the Christian faith,
yeah,
and how we go about building our faith, building that core spiritual muscle. We started with Bible reading. I know you said you've done a little bit more of that over the last couple of weeks, you reckon?
Yeah, I have. I have, certainly. And part of my role is the social media stuff for our church, for Werribee Baptist. And so we do quiet time stories and posts on our socials, which is a great way for me to get into it.
Yeah.
Because I'm receiving videos from our people who are going online, and I'm reading those references and I'm getting stuff out of it as well. So it's a nice little perk.
Yeah, exactly. But for those of you who are struggling to maybe get the physical book out or look at your digital Bible or whatever, we try and make it as accessible as possible if you jump on the socials. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you can see somebody doing literally a 60-second devotion on a thought they've had based on the scripture that they've read, which is a really good access point. Mm. So if you're still struggling with that, jump on and just consume a bit of that content. Then we talked about going to church. We talked about gathering. And obviously, you're there every week because if you weren't there every week, you know, everything would fall over.
So I'm told.
So to all the tech people out there that make churches work, right?
We've got a pretty good team here at WBC.
So no, but I'd like to say to anybody, to the person that has the little country church, and there's if you don't show up, the lights don't even go on. We are so thankful for the tech people that make churches work, because it's a tough thing to do. So there we go to all the tech people. So that's our praise point for today. We just want to encourage tech people who are banging.
So the first part of the sandwich. Now we've got to get down into
now,
the negatives.
Now we're going to say to the tech people: now the sound was wrong on Sunday, the lighting was wrong on Sunday, and you just completely botched that mic change between the preacher and the musician. But we love you.
Yeah, there it is. The bun has been placed on top.
That's a beautiful thing. So so we talked about getting along to church and attending, and we've talked about prayer, the power of prayer. And then we talked about another thing. What was the other thing we talked about?
Serving.
Oh, serving. So, here's another.
Sharing spiritual gifts.
There you go. Here's another round of applause to all the people that help run services of a weekend of any sort, the ones that are in homes, the ones that are in town halls, the ones that are in large auditoriums, and the ones that are running out of the back of the cow shed just because you're milking the cows that morning. Hey, today we wanted to get stuck into a new topic around our habits, and the new topic around the habits conversation is a very, very important one, because it's about sharing our faith. Sharing our faith is a very, very personal thing. It doesn't matter how many times you've been told, if you're a Christian person, at some point you've been told you should tell other people about Jesus. You should tell other people about what faith in Christ has done to change your life. And you've probably been to a gathering here or there, a conference, maybe a rally of some sort, and somebody's stood up and shared so easily and so beautifully, and you thought, how on earth do they do that? And for some people, it becomes a real pressure point because you think, I've got to tell people. And for other people, it's something that they will never, ever do because they don't want to because it's too confronting. So hopefully today, with our very special guest in the studio, we'll be able to bridge the distance between those two places. So without further ado, please welcome Lady Karen Gehring to the house.
Yay!
A bit late on the applause. Studio audience is a bit late.
Studio audience is a bit lazy today, aren't they?
Sometimes they sleep, Karen. They do. We can't control them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Honestly, though, I've got a better studio audience somewhere around here, don't I? Didn't you give me? There we go.
Yeah, there's a second in there somewhere. It's more of a golf clap.
Is that better?
Sounds like rain on a tin roof.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit disappointing. Okay, I could give you a...
Fine, I'll get another one.
What could I give you? I could give you... hang on. Here's one for you.
Aww.
Is that all right, Karen?
No.
Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Elaborators.
Thank you for having me.
To put people in context, we do this podcast from WBC, Werribee Baptist Church, and you've been a part of the team here for several years. Mm-hmm. And part of your journey in this house has been to look after our playgroups. Tell us, when did you start doing playgroups?
Well, as a volunteer before, probably 10, 12 years ago, but as a paid employee the last 6.5 years.
There you go. Nicely done. 10, 12 years ago, I'm guessing, when your daughters were little-y people.
Little, yeah.
So you actually, did you bring your daughters to a playgroup at WBC?
Here, outside, and then also here, my last daughter, Abby, I brought here. So.
Oh, outside being, sorry, I thought the playgroup was outside.
No,
I don't know.
In the community, and then here, Abby, and then got the tap on the shoulder by good old Fiona Black. Can you lead?
Well, a friend of mine used to talk about the power of playgroups. So to put people in the conversation here, playgroups are essentially a service that we provide, that a lot of churches provide and a lot of community groups provide, that does what exactly?
Well, I actually think we've got a good rep. 44 years this year, playgroup has been going.
Playgroup at WBC, 44 years.
It has been.
Oh, we need...
Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's the rain on the roof, guys. Okay, that's enough.
Essentially, what I look at playgroup, it's really providing a safe space to welcome mums in. Playgroup is really about mums.
Okay.
Put a few toys out.
Right. So the kids are there,
the kids
sort of
come,
as an aside.
But the mums will sit around. They'll do the craft. Yeah. They engage. And that's what it's about.
So it's about having a time that's out of your own. You get to get out of the house.
Yeah.
So for anyone that's had children, one of the big things is getting out of the house with a newborn and all that sort of stuff is a big, big deal. Mm. And then you get to go and hang out with other people that are maybe in a similar life stage.
Yeah.
And just have a chat. And
just share life, basically, the ups and downs. And, you know, I was up all night last night. I mean, scripture talks about that, sharing your burdens with another because they've been through the same thing. So it brings healing and comfort to another mother or family.
And was that your experience as a mum going into it?
Somebody
invited you. Tell me about how you felt. I don't know if you even remember, but the sense of coming into a playgroup for the first time. Did you have some hang-ups about it? Were you like, this is going to be terrible? Or do you remember how it felt?
I think I was all right back then. But I noticed young mums, like, for example, this morning we had a new mum come.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, very overwhelming. Don't know anyone.
Yeah.
But she did it. And so I always make a point of saying, well done, you got here.
Yeah.
You remembered one name and just as long as the leaders are always making people feel welcome, like that's really important.
So for any parent that's getting out of the house with a small child at an arranged time, to go and have time with other parents and children at an arranged time.
Well done. It's
a big deal.
Yeah.
And so for you, playgroups has been about creating that welcome space, creating a space that, when you say safe, what do you mean by safe?
So intentionally, a few years ago, we did the room up, and so there's safe as in toys and things like that. Yeah, they're not going to fall over, but safe for mum. So I was very intentional in making a couch area, getting a painting by Margaret Young. It's just all about laying your struggles at the feet of Jesus. We have a lot of mums that come in that don't know the Lord, but it's safe for them to sit there and just share what they're going through.
So the children can play and the adults can chat. There's actually an engaging so the play area is great for kids. They can sort of whatever you say,
safely. Look after themselves. There's nothing.
Producer Simon, did you ever go to a playgroup? Do you remember? I mean, you've done lots of roles. You're a dad of two girls.
I don't know if I ever went to a playgroup.
Your mum bought the girls.
Did. My daughters went to that playgroup. And they also did a really cool outdoor Yuyang's like mountains playgroup for a little while as well.
Wow,
outside in the mud and the rain.
Mm.
There you go. Yeah. So essentially the concept is not new. The concept is run by community groups and church groups, and the idea is that children can play and adults can chat, and it's a good out of the house experience. And so the reason I wanted to chat to you today on the pod was you're a person that quite naturally seems to share your faith. It seems to come quite naturally to you. Last week we looked at spiritual gifts. Is sharing your faith one of would you say it comes easy? Because it looks like it comes easy.
Do you know, it actually, when we were chatting about that, I kind of thought, what? I don't. But yes, I would say it's a natural thing. And I've actually got a scripture that I'd love to read.
I don't know. Can we allow that on the podcast?
I mean, this is the first time that she's taken over.
I'm just going to go to the.
Thank you.
That's the scripture introduction.
Now, it is in Peter, and it is talking about wives submitting to their husbands.
Oh, gosh. So, wow. Okay.
The way I have adopted this scripture to my life is really the way I live. Now, am I perfect? No. But
the whole
this
idea
is
of getting
really,
your woman's for perfection.
So I'm just going to read this. In the same way you wives submit to your own husbands, but out of respect for the responsibilities entrusted to your husbands, so that even if they do not obey the word of God, they may be won over to Christ without discussion by godly lives of their wives. And that has been something that I've held so dearly. Being like with my husband, he has said that to me. He's seen that modeled, just being Christ. I love this as well. It says, but let it be the inner beauty of the hidden person of heart with the imperishable quality and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, one that is calm and self-controlled. I'm not always those things, but serene and spiritually mature, which is very precious in the sight of God. And the reason that scripture means so much to me is because I really, with my family, and as most a lot of people would know, my dad passed away last year, and sharing faith with him was really difficult.
Because the context for sharing faith with your father was he was quite anti. You were a person that came to faith later in life. In your late 20s, which is not later in life, but for a lot of us, we've talked about growing up in church and being introduced to these concepts. So for you to become a Christian woman was a step away from how your family operated. It was a distance, right? So, and potentially that can create some clashes, can't it?
Well, I had my grandparents were Christian, and my nan was. I always think the power of a righteous woman avails much. So, believe that she prayed me into the kingdom. But my dad was like, "Don't bring that stuff in here.
Don't bring
praise God.
Home.
Don't you believe?" When I got baptized, I just remember sharing that with him. But I have just gently led and gently lived my life, being respectful, but not wavering in my faith, I guess. And that's probably how I've shared my faith, if that makes sense.
Which is why that 1 Peter scripture is so precious to you, because it says just live it out in front of people.
Yeah.
And when you sort of have a look around at how different people who maybe we feel are more gifted at sharing Christ, they tell you, the first step is just live it out.
Yeah.
Just live it out. Just be the shining light, be the city on a hill, the salt, the light, those kind of concepts.
Yeah.
But live gently. What were those words? Gently and respectfully, were they?
Yeah, and peacefully. Quiet spirit. So with my dad, I will share this. So because he was so against, and that was the big fear of mine of him not going to be with the Lord. So I actually wrote out a card for him, and it just basically said just like a sinner's prayer, and it was very gentle. There was no, here, you've got to say this. You know, it was like, I want to be in heaven. I accept you. And that's what it was. There was no in your face.
Okay.
Now, I left that card with him. I left it to do the Holy Spirit to do his work. That card sat on his bedside table. That card he would pick up daily and look at it and read it. There was no abruptness, so and that's not my approach, but that's
but what it came from the loving heart of his daughter.
Yeah.
And it was a sense of, I'd like you to know that Jesus loves you and cares for you and wants you in eternity with him. And so this is a sense of, now just to fill people in who don't know your story, your father passed away last September.
Yeah.
And it was quite a journey to that. And so this was during a period of illness that you were sharing this with him.
Yeah.
So was there a sense at that time of, you already knew that he was heading towards the end of his life, and so this was something you passionately wanted to share with
Absolutely.
Him?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that was my biggest heartache, losing him, yes, but just that I wanted him to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I remember running into the shops one day with someone, and they just said to me, write this card, and it was just, it was a God answer.
Okay.
And Holy Spirit did his work, and I saw my dad change over the 9 months that he was diagnosed with MND to talking and saying, I'll see you in heaven. And my dad just did not talk like that. He didn't talk like that.
So it went from a case of, like, the previous Christmas, you weren't allowed to talk. You didn't talk about your faith. You didn't say a prayer at the table.
Saying grace at the table was really hard.
So just to give people a sense of how much of a turnaround that was, and simply through the gentleness of living it out for yourself and writing it down. What a cool idea. And to have essentially, you know, you've shared the hope you have.
Yeah.
Okay, then. You shared faith. Who shared faith with you?
That would be my sister-in-law, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how did that? So you're a 20-something woman. You've lived just a good life so far.
Yeah, pretty. I went to youth group when I was young.
Oh, look at you.
But probably for the wrong reasons of cute boys being
cute boys. No. Many a Christian youth group is built on. Some children going, there's cute boys and girls there. Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But, just got invited to a play, attended, and just never looked back since then. So just really felt called by the Lord. I think I always struggled with belonging and worth and things like that. So always had that longing within me, you know, that we describe if we don't have him, there's a longing. So
for you it was a sense of there was an environment, there was a warmth, there was an acceptance when you met these other Christian people.
Absolutely.
Which essentially, if we come back to our playgroup idea, that's essentially the environment you're trying to create for mums and dads and babies.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so you've been doing that. I did a quick calculation, just by the way, and the quick calculation was if you've been doing this for – well, this church, WBC, has been doing this for 44 years.
Yeah.
We're going to use 20 children are connected to each playgroup, give or take, four to five playgroups per week. So I'm just going to say 4.5 playgroups, all right, as an average. That, over the 44 years, 3,960 children.
Wow.
So
that's huge.
And then you sort of
and their families
and
as
their
well.
Families.
Yeah.
So if you're watching or listening to the pod right now, and you're a family, a parent, or a grandparent even who's been encouraged by playgroups, why don't you send and to our church? Of course, that'd be great. Kaz would love to hear from you. But to anyone that's blessed your family by running a playgroup, why don't you send them a thank you, even if it's 20 years down the track? Because the power of community that is created through this place is through this space. Is a really, really powerful one.
Absolutely.
And I would say that there's a couple of things we're picking up on. One, key relationship of somebody whose life is impacted by faith in Jesus, and you can see the result. of the impact. You know, your dad could see the result of the impact. Your family could see the result. And then environments that are welcoming and encouraging. So one of the things that I like to do is create environments that are that are welcoming. I think some of the stuff is just taking a little bit of the intensity out of getting people saved.
Yeah, I agree.
Is probably one of the things I try and do in the conversation, because I don't think I can save you for starters, especially if you don't think there's anything to be saved from.
Yeah.
So where does our need for Jesus show up the most, do you think?
Probably like in acts and the way you treat people. Mm-hmm. I think when you just touched on before about like trying to leave Jesus out and getting people over the line of saved, I've always had that lying back, that feeling of like Holy Spirit's doing his work here.
Mm.
I'm just part of the puzzle, part of the piece. But need for Jesus is probably through relationships, connection, like feeling love.
Yeah. I think you know, there's a few things, and again, I'd point people to our online tools that we have, the Quiet Time tools. So again, one of our pastors here at WBC, Pastor Deanna, has curated some scriptures for us to have a flick through this coming week on where this whole concept of sharing faith comes from. But obviously, the John 3:16 is probably one of the most famous bits of ancient text in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so I think the idea of enhancing our lives with faith is probably the universal conversation that we have. Life is better with Jesus, but my question is it?
Absolutely. Well, it's, you bring up 3:16. I'll go a step further and say 3:17 is one of my strong scriptures that I love. The reason being, he does not condemn, but he came to save. And I think a lot of people suffer with that so much. And I think a lot of people that I've walked with have really just, I'm not right, I'm not enough, I'm not. I think all of us struggle with that at sometimes. But that's,
Okay. So again, reminding people that the whole conversation is based on grace and it's not a condemning thing. So I think for us on a sharing your faith kind of conversation, give me the coolest thing that's ever happened for you when someone said, what is it about you, and you've been able to share just the, you know, what Jesus has done in your life?
Lots of things. But I think my compassion for people like has really impacted a lot of people. It's something that a lot of people say, well, I've never shared that with anyone before, or I've never felt like to share, or that's probably significant. And that's a real gift I think the Lord's given me.
The passage from 1 John's a different book. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Yet to all who received him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God." And that's where we get that phrase. You might have heard the phrase born again, that whole phrase, you know, and Jesus is talking to one of the Sadducees, and he explains you have to be born again. That's John's writing of it. This idea that you are actually a child of God. And I come back again to this concept of you meet people at the very beginning of their lives in this, and you're trying to tell the adult that they're loved so that the adult can tell the children. Is that sort of the concept?
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's wrestling with the fact that we are loved. Unconditionally. So it's knowing that, so then we can share it with others.
Again, you're talking about the John 3:17.
Yes.
You're right. So there's no condemnation. I'm just going to get that so that I read it properly. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
So it's just a sense of belief. So I think in sharing our faith, for people to believe that we have faith, they have to watch that our lives are different because of it.
And, yeah, and I think it's a mindset. For me, I've worked on that of believing that I'm not condemned, that I'm saved by Him, not of anything that I've done. Like, and that's hard to get your head around that. But sharing with that with people, what I've found, I love sharing that with others so they can find it as well. I mean, He came to set the captives free. What a privilege that we get to sit with people and share, like, how we've been set free so they can be set free. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you for everything that you do with playgroups.
And
before I let you go back to the other 25 things that you've got to do, part of your gift is also that you're working in an area called coach now as well, which I know John Takemar spoke to us. Just tell us briefly, is that an extension of that same gift of compassion?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I first started here, funnily enough, the Lord had said to me that I was, why have you called me to playgroup? And it was for family dysfunction. And that's what I've seen play out. And so coach I see as a bigger part of that. So it's reaching the whole family, mum and dad, so they can impact the lives of their children. So it's coming alongside a whole family, just than say a mum and a child. So the mentoring, like in organising people to mentor, like so maybe people within the congregation, and then we would match them up with someone that needs.
So when you say what do you actually help with? What do you help with?
Like, so basically, it's a friend with a purpose. So it's like Kids Hope. You're meeting with them 1 hour a week. And you're working on goals together. So it could be financial, or, hey, I want to be a better dad, or, hey, I want to exercise more or something like that.
So just real simple.
Really simple. Yeah. So I like the title. It's a friend with a purpose. So you don't go, you go with a name, but you go to build relationship. You can't go with judgment as well, because a lot of these people are coming in and they've had lots of things happen in their life. They've maybe had lots of services that have tried to support them. So you're wanting a mentor to be different, to be non-judgmental and to support.
But again, that friend with a purpose, and I come back to what Jesus did for us, and He came and He said, come follow me. I've got an example and I want to show it to you. And we've been talking on and off over these last few weeks about the different habits that we've got to get into. So I'd say to anybody who's watching, listening, participating in this podcast today, get involved in some of the resources we've been talking about. Maybe today you're thinking, you know what, I'd like to volunteer to help out a local playgroup. We would be happy to connect you with a local playgroup to help out, because honestly, if you're the kind of person that can be a friend with a purpose in any of these settings, we believe that's the greatest gift. The greatest gift you can give to anyone is yourself. Just you being present, you being available, you being a listening ear, and it, like we've been saying throughout this conversation, a non-judgmental, non-condemnatory voice that just hears, or non-condemnatory ear that hears and just listens and offers support, because life's journey is a long one. And change is not often explosive. Change is often incremental. And so I look at the work you've been doing in playgroups for the last 6.5 years, and I think there's been some incredibly big results from very small incremental conversations and helping along the way. So thank you.
No worries. Thank you.
Well, we've come to the end of another elaborating podcast. So hopefully you've enjoyed that conversation. And producer Simon.
Yes.
I think we should do it again next week.
You reckon?
Yeah, go on.
Sure.
All right. So actually, Kaz is our guest. So you get to do the dance.
We'll have to look and judge. No judgment.
No judgment. No condemnation. Just dance like nobody's watching.
Karen, I love your efforts. I think there's work to be done.
Okay.
I look forward to seeing it again next time.
Okay, thanks.
That's a great complimentary sandwich. Yeah. I love it. Go have yourselves a complimentary sandwich for lunch, and we'll catch you next time on The Elaborators. God bless. Cheers.